Let's go to Pastor Brian as we turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 29, in a study entitled The Priority of Love. And now here's Pastor Brian.
Turn in your Bibles to 1 Corinthians chapter 12, and we will cover verses 29 through chapter 13, verse 3. What I want to speak to you is on the subject of the priority of love. The priority of love. Anyone that reads the Bible, even casually, as you read the teaching of Jesus Christ, you'll have to agree that the number one characteristic that must be there for the Christian is love. Jesus said that actually the others would know that we are his followers by our love for one another. And if you do not have love in your heart, then you are not a Christian, no matter what you claim or how often you've been to church or how religious you may think you are. If the love of God is not there and then being demonstrated out in your life, then you are not a true follower of Jesus Christ. It has to be there, or the Spirit of God isn't there, because where the Spirit of God is, there is love. He will produce that love within your hearts. And as we study this portion, that's why I'm entitling it The Priority of Love, because he's setting it in the context of the gifts. The gifts are important, but the number one important thing that must be in our life to claim that we are Christians, to claim we're anything, is love. And if it's not there, Paul says, we are nothing, and everything else, nothing else will profit us. Now, the difficulty when we start reading the Bible is that in the English language, the word love is used in so many different ways. Someone could say in the same breath, I love my dog and I love my wife. And hopefully they love their wife in a much different way than they love their dog, but it's the same word. And so when we read love, it has such a broad meaning in the English. But when you come to the scriptures, there was different Greek words for love, and Paul chose the word agape, which is a Greek word which describes the love that God himself has. And we know that because the many places it appears in the scriptures, not every time the word agape is there, it describes the type of love that God has, but the overwhelming majority of times. And then also in the Old Testament was written in Hebrew, and when it was translated into Greek, the translators, when they were translating the word that described God's love for the people, they would use that word agape. So it had a significance there to set it apart from the other types of loves that the Greek language had. The Greek language also has the word eros, which we get our word erotic, which means a passionate type of love. And then also phileo, which is a friendship type of love. But when the Apostle Paul wanted to emphasize the unconditional, self-sacrificing, self-giving type of love, he used the word agape. And that's what he uses in 1 Corinthians 13, and that's the type of love that needs to be manifest in our heart, in our conduct, and in our lifestyle. And basically, the word relates to a self-sacrificing for the good of others. I think that's a good definition, self-sacrificing for the good of others. Because this love is not a feeling. It's not based on emotion. It's based on action. It's an act of the will to do something for others that'll cost you. That's the biblical definition of love. And then the hard part gets is that it's not based on that individual. Not because they're good or related to me or I like them. You will do this whether or not they respond favorably, whether or not they persecute you or like you or return the favor. So it's an unconditional type of love. So it's a love that obviously is not capable of just us working up within ourselves. It is an act of the will versus the emotions, but it's more than that. It has to be produced by the Spirit of God. The Bible says the fruit of the Spirit is love. So this love will come from the Holy Spirit, and that's the evidence that you truly are a follower of Jesus Christ. And again, you cannot claim to be a Christian apart from this love being there. Because if that love is there, not there, then it's evidence that the Holy Spirit is not there. And the Holy Spirit's not in your life, then you're religious, but you are not truly born again. You are not a true follower of Jesus Christ. And so the priority of love is that it has to be there for us to claim that we are Christians. Now, the difficulty is, you say, well, how do I love this way? Do I just say, okay, I'm going to wake up in the morning, I have this person at work that I really can't stand, I don't want to be around, but I know the Bible tells me to love these people. So you memorize scripture, you pray, you meditate, you get all fired up, and you're ready to charge out the house and go to work, and you're going to love this person no matter what. And there you are driving on the freeway, and someone cuts you off, and there, boom, you already got this anger, and all that love that you wanted to have is already gone. So it can happen just like that. So it's not just you saying, I'm going to love people no matter what. It has to come by God, the Holy Spirit producing that within the hearts. And that's why we're going to take some time studying about this love in 1 Corinthians 13. Now, here's what I want to share with you. You know, one of the purposes for the law in the Old Testament was not to show that if you live up to these standards, you'll be accepted by God. It was to put God's perfect standard out and show how far we had all fallen. It was like a giant mirror saying, measure yourself against God's standard, not against anyone else's standard, your own standard, or the people. Here's God's perfect standard. Where do you fall short? Then that would drive you to say, I need a Savior. I've sinned against God. I need help. Well, in one sense, this is what this chapter is going to do. Because if you come out after our studies on love and you say, I truly am a loving person, I got 1 Corinthians chapter 13 down, either I didn't teach it right, or you weren't listening, or you weren't really understanding what the Bible says, because this is going to describe the way that God loves, and none of us could say we do that all the time. So there's going to be a degree of conviction. There's going to be a degree of, I really need to get on the stick here. There's a lot of areas I'm not living up to this love, and hopefully it's going to drive you to Christ to say, God, help me. God, empower me to love this way. Help me to love those that would persecute me and those that would be unthankful and evil and would talk rude about me behind my back. Help me to love them. So that's what 1 Corinthians 13 is going to be for us. It's going to be the perfect standard. We're going to look at it, and we're all going to say, we're not measuring up. And what I want that to do is drive us to Christ to say, God, change my heart. Fill me with that type of love. Empower me to love this way, in the way that it's described within the Scripture. So it's not just you saying, okay, I'm going to do this. You're going to fall flat on your face. You're not going to make it. Because this is supernatural. This is a love that God has towards us, and He's the only one that could produce it within our hearts. But nevertheless, we need to keep that as a standard and examine our life according to that perfect standard and say, Lord, help me to strive for that. Help me to seek after that, that you'd pour that type of love within my heart. Now, let's go back to verse 29. That's where we'll start, and we'll study through verse 3 of chapter 13. Remember, Paul's talking about the body of Christ, that all have the same. All are one body, but not all have the same function within the body of Christ. Now he's going to ask a series of questions, which the obvious answer is no. He says, are all apostles? Obviously not. Are all prophets? Are all teachers? Are all workers of miracles? Do all have gifts of healings? Do all speak with tongues? Do all interpret? And so the obvious question, the obvious answer to all those questions is no, absolutely not. Not all are prophets, not all are apostles, not all teachers, evangelists, miracle workers, and on and on and on and on. What he's trying to describe, although we're one body, we have one function, we all have different functions in the body of Christ. And so there's diversity in the church, but he's going to bring us back to one main common denominator, and that's that we all need to have love within our life, the love of God. We all may have different positions, different responsibilities, but we're all called to walk in the love of God and to demonstrate this type of unconditional, self-sacrificing, giving type of love if we're to claim ourselves Christians at all. Now, obviously, in this section, Paul is expecting the people to read that are all the prophets. The answer is obviously no. Not all are apostles. Now, I do not understand why some would come to the last gift, do all speak with tongues, do all interpret, and some would say, yes, all can. Now, I believe here Paul is saying that not all will be prophets, not all will speak in tongues. Now, it's kind of a side issue, issue from love, but I believe there's a lot of people under guilt, under pressure, saying, I don't speak in tongues, so there's something must be wrong with me. Paul here says not all are going to. The Holy Spirit is the only one that could manifest this gift within your life. You can't manifest it yourself. It's not an act of your will. It's a work of the Holy Spirit. And just like you would not condemn yourself for being an apostle, don't condemn yourself if God has not given you the gift of tongues. And I think it's contrary to Scripture to say that all will speak in tongues. Paul says, do all? And the answer is no. Does it make sense to say, are all apostles? No. Are all prophets? No. Are all teachers? No. Are all miracle workers? No. Do all speak in tongues? Yes. There was something wrong with that, isn't there? And so he's expecting a no answer. And I know that there's brothers and sisters in this church where you've been made to feel less than spiritual because God has not given you that gift, and Paul here says, not all will. Now, when we get to chapter 14, Paul says that we should desire to. but that's up to the Lord. Shouldn't be fearful of this gift, but not all are going to, just like all are not going to be prophets or apostles. That's not the real focus of our study, but it's one thing I wanted to bring out here, and then we'll look at the proper place of prophecy in tongues as we go through chapter 14. That's true. Not all are going to be walking in these gifts, but what comes next is mandated upon all of us to have a self-sacrificing type of love towards not only our brothers and sisters in Christ, but those that are in our family, in our workplace, in the world, those that love us.